ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 4, Text 30, translation and commentary by this verse continues with the theme that I was discussing yesterday, that the demons, although intelligent and expert in many ways, ultimately are not equal with our heart, not very expert. They're very expert in making arrangements for sense gratification. But the very quest for sense gratification in itself is an indication of their foolishness. So they're very expert in being foolish, which means they're ultimately fools. They may be very expert in doing something, but it is ultimately meaningless and useless. And not only meaningless and useless, but actually opposite to your own self-interest. You're not to be considered very intelligent. You may be expert, but it's all working in the wrong direction. The demons are very expertly engaged in activities that will take them to hell. Therefore, they are, although they may be considered expert, and although they are intelligent in many ways, but it's because it's misplaced intelligence and expertise. Therefore, it's all considered foolishness and passivity. Now, here we see there is a clear distinction between the demons and the demigods or devotees. The stated in this verse is going to be These first two lines, which are quoted from Padma Purana, are also quoted from, are also stated by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. There are two types of people, demons and devotees. These are basic classifications. We find also in Srimad Bhagavatam that it's stated that the, among the non-devotees, there are two classes. In the description of the behavior or the outlook of a madhyam bhakta, devotee situation, in the middle stage of devotional service, that means one who is very seriously aspiring for perfection. He's not a materialist. He's a pure devotee, but has not come fully to the topmost platform. He's called Madhyama Dikari. So he is advised to perceive four classes of living entity and to behave with them accordingly. These four classes are, do you know the verse? Do you know what I'm talking about? Ishvare tad adhineshu Balishishu Vishanshucha Prema Maitri Vipodhincha Yakaruti Sa Madhimaha. The middle level devotee is advised to see Ishwa, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and to love Him. And then, Tadadhina, those who are subordinate to Him, namely the devotees. And if middle level devotees are advised to be friendship devotees. Then the non-devotees are divided into two sections. That is called Balishu, or it's just like a child, innocent, foolish. And to them he should be merciful. And then Dvisha, Dvishatse, those who are envious, rascals, demons, they should be avoided. Upeksha means to neglect or to reject. That's what upeksha means, either neglection or rejection. So the non-devotees, they are divided into two categories, the innocent and the grossly envious. Here we see this verse from Padma Purana, being quoted in connection with Kamsa and his cohorts, that they are out and out demons. As described in Bhagavad Gita, one verse, which Prabhupada said was very important. This famous verse describing four kinds of people who do not surrender to Krishna. Who knows this verse? Can you say it in Sanskrit? Oh, this is it. This is a well-known verse. Namam Vishuddhino Mudhaha Mudha Nam Mudha, because it's plural. Mudha means rascal, and Mudha means many rascals. So Namam Vishuddhino Mudha Padyante Namaha Maya Parikadhyana Asurum Namaha Shukramha. So the demons, they fall into four categories, which are, anyone say? They're all called Dushkriti, which means vassal. They are expert. Here this word is given, Nati Govidaha. They're not very expert. But Dushkriti means they're expert, but expert in the wrong thing. Vassal is good. So the four categories of rascal expert demons means Namangushuddha Mula, first is Mula, which is something that's foolish. Apparently intelligent, but foolish. Simply working hard, but what for, they don't know. What are we working for? To get the job. There's an interesting story in this regard. That one American came to India and saw one man bringing some mangoes from his village to the city with bullock cart. So the American stopped him and said, "I'm a graduate from Harvard Business School. I see you're bringing these mangoes into town with a bullock cart. It's not very conducive to business. If you brought them by truck, you could bring them quicker, save time, make more money, time in money." They said, "No, it's okay. I'll bring you my bullock cart." He said, "Well, let me give you some advice. I can improve your life and improve your business. Tell me, how do you pass your day?" He said, "During the summer season, in the morning, I pick mangoes with my family and bring them into the city, sell them wholesale, and I drive back to the village, and then take my meal, take a little rest on the coconut tree. In the evening, I sit with my friends and my family, and we talk about this and that, and maybe go to the temple and this." Said, "No." American said, "This is not the way to live your life. So you have some land for your mango growth. Why don't you take a bank loan and get more land and grow more trees and then you can buy a truck and send your mangoes to different cities and negotiate and get the best price. You should get busy and work. And you can make a lot of money." So the villagers said, "Well, what's the value of that? What benefit that has? Well, when you get a lot of money, then you can expand your business more and more, and eventually you can retire, and then you'll have time to be with your friends and family." So I'm doing that already. Why should I go to so much in dinner? I'm already doing that. So Buddha means they're working very hard, but they don't know what for. Why should we work so hard? Because everyone else is doing it. It's considered respectable in modern society. I don't know here, but in the West it's considered a sign of of a respectable member of society to have a good job and work hard like an ass. It's considered if you don't have a job or don't have money, it's considered probably you're not even a human being. You're a social outcast. It's not proper. You must work. Have a job in a factory or something. Not to work. So Mura, Naradhama, he doesn't have time. It means he doesn't have interest in Krishna consciousness. No interest. He's simply interested in earning money for sense gratification. Then Maya Abhavita Jnana means they have some intelligence, learning, PhD, MSc, BCom, all these different designations and appellations. We are very learned. We have got our degree in the university. But they don't have the real knowledge, which is who they are. They're ignorant about the goal of life. They simply have external knowledge. So they consider themselves to be very intelligent, but they're fools. Because they don't know who they are or what the purpose of life is. Their knowledge is covered by illusion. So for all their education and for all their intelligence, they don't know even who they are. They think, I am this body. So even though you can get a degree in the university, I don't know, here, this is an ex-communist country. Like in England, because the universities were originally founded for teaching, they were adjuncts to religious teaching. You know that? In Europe there was the Dark Ages. It was called the Dark Ages because they didn't have any technology. So it was considered dark. Notice they call that Dark Ages in their language also. That means from about the beginning of the Christian, from the end of the Roman Empire to the Renaissance. It's considered then the Renaissance they started becoming scientific and atheistic, so that's considered the Age of Enlightenment. So there were the Dark Ages. So during this time, education was all from the monasteries. The monasteries were the center of culture and learning. So from out of this came the universities. And the universities used to teach religious topics. And that's why even today, they still teach, at least in England, in Cambridge and Oxford, the very old universities, theology. Christian, based on Christian teachings. But they don't know anything about God. You'll find people, they like to, you'll meet people, you walk on the street, you'll find, you go selling books, I'm sure you'll meet so many people, they like to speak something about God, isn't it? They're something, well, I know about God, and God is Jehovah, and, isn't it? They say to you, like this, isn't it? Yeah, I'm sure. Because if you do, you'll meet people like this. But they can't understand anything about God because they don't even understand they're not the body. How can you understand about God if you don't understand you're not the body? If you don't understand what the soul is, then how can you understand who God is? That's why they have absurd ideas that you go to heaven and you live a very happy life in heaven with your father and mother and grandfather and you eat your roast beef on a Sunday. They have so many sins in them. It's the Mormon idea. The Mormon idea that you go to heaven and there you live with your father and mother and grandmother. But the thing is that you want your grandmother to be old because that's how you know her. And your grandmother, she doesn't want to be old, she wants to be young. So how are you going to adjust that? So foolish. They don't know. They have no idea. They think we will go to heaven and enjoy sex gratification, just like one of the archbishops of Canterbury. Means he's the head of the second biggest church in the world. The biggest is the headed up by the Papa, the Pope. The Catholic Church, Roman Catholic Church, and second biggest church are the various Protestant churches that come under the Church of England, such as the Church of England, the Church of Ireland, the Church of Scotland, the Church of Australia, all these Anglican churches. So he was asked before he died, he was asked that, well, when you go to heaven, what will you do? And so he's supposed to be an authority on spiritual knowledge. And he said, well, for the first 100 years, I'll glorify God, and then I'll enjoy myself for the rest of eternity. They have no idea beyond sense gratification. So even if they talk of God, they're like, what are their ideas? Horrible ideas. You'll find them in the corner here, one out in the open, one cross with Jesus. They want to nail it. Their idea of God. God is being hammered to a cross. So already he suffered, but we'll put him outside in the cold and the wind and the rain. So let him suffer some more. Jesus said he'll suffer for our sins. So we are sinning, so we may better make sure he's suffering. Is their idea. No idea. I mean, it's not even worth talking about God with such people. Prabhupada didn't even... Nowadays we have all this interfaith so-called preaching. But Prabhupada, he didn't discuss with Christians about that. He refused to. Unless you accept that you have to stop killing animals, then what is the use of discussing? You call yourselves followers of Jesus. You think Jesus is running a slaughterhouse? You think Jesus came to teach you how to eat roast beef and macaroni stroganoff and McDonald's hamburgers? Jesus didn't come to teach you this. Jesus came to teach, thou shalt not kill, and you are killing. Well, that means you're not a follower of Jesus. So, Papa refused to discuss, unless Christians would accept this point, thou shalt not kill. Papa wouldn't even discuss anything about that. What are you going to discuss? First, if you call yourself follower of Jesus, first follow. Jesus is not preaching, eat meat, drink wine. He didn't teach these things. They have misinterpreted. So anyway, the demons, they have no knowledge. They have knowledge how to cause suffering to others, and most experts. Most experts in inventing all kinds of new inventions, which I think is a very wonderful invention. But their inventions simply cause distress. Even if their inventions could theoretically do something good, ultimately it causes distress because they're demons. Just like the TV, it could be used for something good. And occasionally it is. There are programs about Krishna consciousness. But mostly, the TV is a medium that all over the world is degrading people. It's being used to degrade people. And even there are many cultures throughout the world which are not so much degraded. By TV, they're forcing, they're invading the different countries and forcing them to become more and more degraded. Recently I was in Bangladesh. I was there for several years in the 1980s, especially in the beginning of the 1980s. So I traveled to so many villages, and in every Hindu home there'd be some picture of Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu. In East Bengal, Bangladesh, in Hindu cultures, mostly Gauriya Vaishnavism, mixed up with so many kinds of sadhya ideas, but basically the worshippers of Gaur Nitai and Radha Krishna. So now, after quite a few years, I mean, I've been visiting regularly, but I haven't been in the villages. So this year I went and visited, I was in some village, doing kirtan, house to house. So I went, I saw in every home they have pictures of young women, not naked, that still hasn't come to me. But in suggestive postures, lusty sex pictures. So that's TV. Now they have electricity in every home. They have TV in every home. It means electricity, and most of the time there's current discipline. So they can watch TV. and they watch Indian TV, which is thick lust, highly lusty. So all the young, especially the young men in the colleges, they can get with satellite TV and cable TV, but in the cities. So their minds are very disturbed. They are, now they're all learning, they all can speak Hindi now, from the TV only, otherwise their grandmothers are not speaking. But it's similar to Bengali, so they picked it up only from the TV. It's lower class Hindi. And now in Bangladesh they have a big problem, which they never had before. How so many women are being attacked and raped and so many things. So they're making new laws. Death sentence for rape. And will that stop it? No. Because when a person is crazy with lust, he doesn't consider whether you're going to get death sentence or whatever. So how is this coming? It's because of the TV that they're promoting all the demonic and values. These are the demons. They're very concerned to degrade the world. And if someone is against this, they make so much propaganda. If someone is against, if they don't want your American TV, they lock it out, they make propaganda. It's very bad. Backward, medieval, even within our movement, because I'm preaching within our movement, traditional values, as we find in Prabhupada's books, things like when you get married, you shouldn't get divorced. Women's social role is subordinate to their husbands. So, even within our movement, we find them being accused of being a medieval, this word is used. Okay, medieval is better. They weren't so degraded like today. Better, if medieval means that you live a more civilized life, you don't marry 25 women and divorce them in one lifetime, and have children by so many different women, abandon them here and there, or maybe have one or two abortions, have your girlfriends have abortions. That's more civilized. But they think that now we're advanced, we have modern technology and science and very advanced, and these ideas of marital fidelity, that's all ancient, out of date. And this idea that men should only have sex with women and vice versa, that's also out of date. And any hole will do, doesn't matter. So this is demoniac. They're promoting these ideas through the media, on TV, newspapers. And these could be used for good things. But because they're demons, they want to spoil the whole society. They think it's their duty, just like a devotee, it's their duty to preach Krishna consciousness. So they think it is our duty to spread Western culture all over the world. Why should these people just be dressed in their traditional dress? Why isn't the whole world dressed in jeans? Everyone should dress in, you're not wearing a suit or jeans, you're not civilized, you're backwards. If you don't speak English, then you're just a lesser human being. Very demonic, but the whole society, they're so puffed up. We think our society is so wonderful, everyone in the world should follow our ideas. They really think like this. They think this is the pinnacle of civilization. And they think that, well, you know, there's only drug problems, well, that's just a minor. Basically, our civilization is very advanced. They think because we have TVs and motor cars and skyscraper buildings, this is advanced. But really advanced civilization is to live very simply, not be attached to all these material facilities. Real advancement means when you can live simply and be on a higher platform of consciousness. Not just on a higher platform, you know, 50-story building. Now you're very high civilization. That's not high civilization. High civilization means you live very simply, clean, pure consciousness. Real high civilization means you're not attached to so many material possessions. That is advancement. But they think that all this business, living in the country, working the land, it's another propaganda that's spoiling
the world, that to live on the land and cultivate, that's a very backward thing. You should live in the city and have a PhD and drive a car very fast. This isn't that. The demoniacs, they don't see. Pashyanapi na pashyati. They don't see that with all your advancement, you have to die. And what will happen after that? You don't even want to think. This is their foolishness. How foolish. They've made a big phantasmagoric, drive past, run here, run there, build a new building, make a new business, take over one business, merger one huge company with another huge company. This is all considered very advanced. What's going to happen after death? They program you that you shouldn't even think of something. Don't even think about it. Just work hard and enjoy life. Animal. Why animal? Because the animal has no capacity to think. What is the purpose of life? A human being, he can think like that. If you don't think like that, then you're not a human being. You wasted your human form of life. And you see, what is the result? The money in society, people are simply miserable. So this is Maya Aparita Dhyana and Asuran Bhava Nashita. Out and out demons. This is the kind of person, if you even say God, they immediately become a demon. They want to eradicate all traces of theism from society. They think there should be no belief in God. They consider that religion has spoiled human society. So now we should have atheism. Or just like cancer, he wants to kill Krishna. He's making compromises and alliances with the demons. But he'll never think to make an alliance or a compromise with God. We cannot live with the godly people. The only thing we should do is to kill them. This is their way of thinking. So these are demons. But there are others also who are considered maybe non-devotees, but maybe demons by association. Means they're somewhat innocent. They may be eating meat and drinking wine, but yes, alright, you can say they're demons, but maybe they didn't get any better information. They're not very deeply envious of Krishna. Everyone in this material world is envious. That's why we're doing it. Because we're envious of Krishna. But some people, or many people, actually, Prabhupada said that most people are innocent. And mostly only the leaders of human society are there, and they are misleading society. As most people, they're not intrinsically against Krishna consciousness. Now if they see something in the newspaper, they tend to be very influenced. If they see something that this Krishna consciousness is very bad, then they believe it because it's in the newspaper. Because they're babish, they're foolish. They just believe whatever they're told. But if given association, and if given some good impression, they'll think, oh, Krishna consciousness is what next? Because they don't think very deeply. Most people don't think very deeply. Most people are not very philosophical and even very logical. Whatever they see on TV or reading the newspaper, they tend to believe it. That's why you can have your Serbo-Croatian wars. Why should the people fight and kill each other? You know, particularly. But because the press and the leaders, they say, oh, the Serbians are very bad, kill them. And the Serbians, oh, Croatians are very bad, kill them. And they don't kill them. Otherwise, they weren't killing the living before, very peacefully. So the leaders, for political reasons, they'll shape the way we think. Otherwise, most people, they're not so much demoniac or against Krishna consciousness. So here the distinction is made between demons and devotees, but there is a middle class also, a class of people who are neither highly demoniac nor devotional, who are mostly in the modern society somewhat demoniac,
due to bad association, but he can be made devotee by association. And actually, even the demons can be made in some cases. Some of them, they are scissors philosophy. You know this story? One man was saying, let's cut this piece of paper with a knife. You have to cut this paper, I want to cut it with a knife. And the other man said, no, you should cut it with scissors, it's better. He said, no, you cut it with a knife. And he said, no, you should cut it with scissors. So you should cut it with a knife. No, you should cut it with scissors. So then they became very angry and started arguing, and then the man who was saying cut it with a knife wanted to beat the scissors philosopher. So as the one saying cutting with a knife was much more strong, the one who advocated cutting with scissors ran away. And the other one was chasing him. No, you should cut it with a knife. They came to a river, no bridge. So the scissors philosopher jumped in the river. But he wasn't very strong and he started to drown in the Rijeka. See, I know one close as well. So as he was drowning, his final gesture, he stuck his hand above the water and went like this. In other words, he's defeated, he's drowning, but still he wants to make his point like this. So like that, an atheist, even if philosophically defeated, it's just he's attached to demoniac and atheistic views. So most people, they're not attached to being demons. They're just demons by circumstance, by bad association. So our Krishna conscious movement is especially, it's meant for lifting up everybody. But we should know that most people, they're demoniac by bad association. Given good association, they can gradually come around. And even demoniac people, some of them, they can come around. Even some people, they'll never, they're very determined that I shall not be Krishna conscious. So such people, what can you do? Upeksha, ignore them. Just try to keep out of their way. It's not valuable to be with them. But others who may not be so much demoniac, they can be gradually brought around and engaged just by somehow giving them a book. Srila Prabhupada's book, so much spiritual advancement in them. If you have festivals, and you have the actual festivals, they see something joyful and nice and happy. They know this is very nice. They don't know what is the deep in this. They think this is nice. By thinking this is nice, then they gradually start to become a devotee. So our Krishna conscious movement is meant for activities, many activities which are meant for uplifting the people, bringing people to Krishna consciousness. There are so many devotees of Krishna in this country who don't know yet. Do you know that? There are many hundreds and thousands of people in this country who are devotees of Krishna, but they haven't found out yet. They haven't discovered. It's just like there's gold in the land. There's gold. It's there. It just has to be dug up. There are so many people, just like you're all coming to Krishna consciousness. You didn't know. How long have you been chanting Hare Krishna? Sinanda Devi, no?
How long
have you been chanting Hare Krishna? 8 years.
8 years.
So, 12 years ago, had you any idea that you would be chanting, worshipping the deities and so on? Had you any idea? So like this, there are many, many people in this country who don't know now, but who in future will be chanting Hare Krishna. They're there already. You have to rescue them, pick them up, give them the opportunity. And there are many people who may not be chanting Hare Krishna, may not chant in this life, but who in the next life will. Because they'll get Prabhupada's books, they'll make some advancement. So our Krishna conscious movement is like spreading a net, catching all the people. And those who are big demons, they'll be very careful. This net won't catch us. course, the net of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy can catch even the most demoniac people. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there were the Mayavadis of Varanasi who were very much against Krishna, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu loved them also by his tremendous mercy, by his humility, his discussions with them. He was able to bring them around. Of course, that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has full potency to make even the most demoniac people devotees. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is still there. So you never know. Actually, those who are the most demoniac, they usually become, if they take to Krishna consciousness, they usually become the best devotees. Because they're very intense people. They're very serious. Prabhupada said that those who are convinced by their intelligence, they'll make better devotees. Just if someone is, they're arguing against Krishna consciousness, and by argument and discussion, you can convince them. If they're convinced by philosophy, they'll become better devotees than, or more fixed than those who simply come by sentiment. So we don't let people come by sentiment, by philosophy, by prasadam, very important, distribute prasadam, this secret weapon, acts, people don't. That's why you'll find many people, actually those who are demoniac by nature, if you give them prasadam, they won't take it, no, I'm not going to take that. And then I go on, there's some spell in them. They say like that. But actually, if they're atheists, then why should they think there's any potency in prasadam? If there's no God, then prasadam is only food, right? But actually, they know there's some potency in them. So actually, indirectly, they're admitting that Krishna consciousness has got spiritual potency. Otherwise, why should they refuse to take prasadam? You met some people like that? They refuse, oh, don't take that, oh, oh, oh. Very dangerous. Have you met such people? In India we don't see. Mostly people, they're very happy to take prasadam. Only sometimes some Muslims. No, I can't take this, I'm a Muslim. And many times they'll take it also. Many times they're very enthusiastic. Many times you'll find even in India, Muslims are supposed to be against Krishna consciousness. They worship different deities because it's their culture. It means that previously their forefathers were doing it, and then some of them they got converted to be Muslims. So they go on doing it for generations and generations. They're afraid. You don't worship the deity, then you'll punish us. In Mayapur, Jagannath is there. The local Muslims, they know. It's very powerful. Don't do anything against Jagannath. And if you want any blessings, go to Jagannath. So they're all Jagannath doctors. So they're supposed to be demons. Because Islam in India means the way it's been preached, it's very anti-Hindu, for want of a better word. But they can also be devotees. There's so many, even you'll find in Iran, I just met one devotee in London, I haven't seen him for so many years. Where have you been for so many years? In Iran. My brother. He went there in about 1979. He's from Ireland. He stayed there throughout the Holy Revolution. When they were, during the Iranian Revolution, they were looking for Americans to kill. And in countries like Iran, if you have a white skin, you're American. It doesn't matter. He stayed there throughout the Holy Revolution. But eventually he had to leave because he had a big file on him. And somehow he managed to have that file destroyed. And then another big fire was built up on him, and they were just going to get him to get out of the country. So he's been preaching in Iran, all these different so many devotees in Iran, a Muslim background. And one devotee I know, he just went to Pakistan. Because in Pakistan there are still some Hindus, because the lowest class Hindus, they're the ones who traditionally, they clean out all the school. So the Muslims never converted them to Islam because they wanted them to go on cleaning up the silk. So when Pakistan split from India thanks to the British and Pandit Nehru, may they not rest in peace, they won't rest in peace for all their sins. all the Hindus were either being killed or they were running away from Pakistan. So that, but the most, or what, it wasn't even called Pakistan. So they never had any idea of such a thing. Anyway, the Muslims said no, to the Bangis, those who clean out the store, "No, you stay here. We want you to stay here. We'll look after you because we don't want to clean out the store. You should do it." So that caste is still there, although they don't clean out the store anymore. So our devotees have been preaching, and there are about 2,000 people from that caste that include China, Hindustan, and Pakistan, and quite a few Muslims too. And they can also become devotees in just at Rathiyatra, you know, just in the water. One of my disciples came from a village and brought with him. That village, the people were not very responsive. He only got one person in the whole village to chant Hare Krishna as a Muslim. So you don't understand what that means, because here the Bosnian Muslims, there. In Europe, they're just like in Russia, there are some Muslims, they're very wishy-washy. But there, in India, it's like if a Muslim becomes a Hindu, then good chance he's going to get shot. If he's lucky, they're more likely to be tortured to death. It's very dangerous. They're very heavy people. So even from any background, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is often, it's often we can't imagine. And actually, I mean, we're talking about, we're also from a highly demoniac background, isn't it? I mean, when you consider we're all and that in itself is highly demoniac. And so you see them come on the plane, you see the stewardess is coming around. What would you like, beef or chicken? No, I think I love beef. Red wine or white wine? Oh, well, give me a whiskey. And, you know, it's just like, this is normal, you know, Western world. It's horrible. They're just eating that little piece of meat. And for that little piece of meat, they have to go to hell. It's suffering. They don't know. So I've got great work. This Kamsa Sampradaya is very active in the world. Kamsa was killed by Krishna. There are always demons, one after another. They'll come. They'll never be a time when they're not. In the present time, the demons have become very powerful. And they're really spoiling the world very badly. So the Krishna conscious movement is meant for kicking out the demoniac civilization, giving civilization, not civilization. Animal world. Krishna conscious movement is meant. They have a very great purpose. You should always keep this in mind. You shouldn't be frivolous, childish, whimsical. How seriously we should take Krishna conscious, practice it ourselves. Very seriously. And then Krishna will give us the potency to save others. If we're not thinking about how to spread Krishna consciousness to others, then we haven't understood Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. We haven't really understood what Krishna consciousness is all about. It's not just meant for us to sit at home very peacefully and sing, chant a little bit of that. Krishna consciousness is meant for spreading to others. We should bear this in mind. How people are suffering from lack of Krishna consciousness. How Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has ordered every person within this universe to take up Krishna consciousness and spread it to others. So devotees should be active, busy, serving Krishna, preaching Krishna consciousness. Preaching means not everyone's going to be great acharya and others. Nor should we be so ambitious. But we should see what we can do to spread Krishna consciousness to others according to our capacity. We don't know how much our capacity is because Krishna can empower us more and more. But first thing, we have to be very strict in our sadhana and regularly studying Prabhupada's books. Ourselves become strong, get a taste for Krishna consciousness, and with that strength and with that taste, we can become instrumental in imparting Krishna consciousness to others. So let's think about this. When we're discussing demons, they're rotten, they're nasty, foolish, they're miserable, Yes, it's true. We don't hate them. We're disgusted with their way of life. But devotee is thinking how to save them. That is the moment. We say these things very strongly. Yes, this is foolish, rascal. It's true. We have to point that out. To save ourselves and others from following that inauspicious path. But really the meditation of the devotee is how to uplift these people. Bring out the Krishna consciousness, which is within the heart of everybody. This is the mission of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. This is the mission for the Vedas and Krishna. Is there any question?
Yes, it's a relevant point. The example is there of Hiranyakashipu, and there are other demons like that too. They were performing austerities. They had transcendental knowledge to some extent, because they knew that the body is temporary, that the soul is getting different bodies according to his karma. But still, he was a demon because of his attitude. He hated Vishnu. So, what about us? Well, we also fall in the Hiranyakashipu category if we cultivate a demoniac mentality. We should be very careful of this. Sometimes in the name of devotional service, we want to dominate over others, or for our own sense gratification. Actually, the distinction is given in this verse, there are two kinds of living beings. But actually we often see that in the modern age, a devotee is a devotee, but still so many demoniac desires in their heart. So we should be very careful. To really be a devotee, it's a good point. Devotee doesn't just mean putting on tilak. It's good to put on tilak, I'm not saying don't put on tilak. We should put on tilak. But that in it, simply the external trappings, tilak, I got initiated, and all these kinds of things. It doesn't necessarily mean we're going to be a devotee. Devotee means he's devoted to Krishna. So we are devotee as much as we are devoted to Krishna. We should know which demoniac background we're coming from. So if we don't keep up our Krishna conscious practice, we can go back to being a demon also. Prabhupada said that. And you go back to being a demon also. So, any other questions? Yeah, you're talking about how devotees accept the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, at least to some extent, although nowadays you find that devotees, it's quite common, they want to mix up some ideas of Krishna consciousness with some karmi ideas. That's also quite common. So, that's nonsense. So they accept the practices and the philosophy but not the culture. Yeah, this is a point which I'm often making. They find it very difficult to accept the culture. But as you say, yes, that will make some problems because the culture is the medium in which Krishna consciousness grows. Just like you have a yoga culture that changes the milk into yoga. So the Vaishnava culture is the medium. And how we behave, how we act, how we dress, how we relate with others. So if you try to be Krishna conscious devotee and at the same time rock and roll star or something like this, it really doesn't mix. But the Vedic and the Vaishnava culture is meant for cultivating spiritual values, and especially this modern demoniac culture is meant for cultivating demoniac values. The two things, they really don't mix. Just like at the present time in our movement, and I guess it will continue, there's this idea that this one point of Prabhupada stressed very strongly, that spiritually everyone is equal, but socially women have a subordinate role. So often our devotees say, well, that's, you know, that doesn't fit with the modern Western way of life. It doesn't. The modern Western way of life is meant to cause sense gratification. Vedic culture is meant for spiritual elevation. So different roles are there to help facilitate everybody according to their psychophysical condition. There's Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. There's also people done like that. Why should anyone be considered inferior because Shudra? But that's according to the particular guna and karma that you are inclined to profess. So for you to act within that social condition, that is better for you and it's better for everybody. For the Western way of life, they're very stringent. They say all are equal, but what it comes down to, they say everyone is equal, but equality is not there. It's not that everyone is equal. No. People don't have the same intelligence. They don't have the same capabilities. They don't have the same physical strength. Therefore, what it comes down to in modern life is might is right. Whoever can dominate others by brute force or by manipulation, just like psychological manipulation through the education system, through the mass media, they dominate others. So, the Vedic social philosophy is that those who are most pure and intelligent, the Brahmanas, they should give guidance. Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, they dominate society. Brahmanas, by their purity and intellectualism, that doesn't mean it's false intellectualism of the universities, but that means knowledge of Shastra. And Kshatriyas, they implement that. And Kshatriyas, sometimes go to Kshatriya, but he's just a lout. You know this word lout means just like a bully. That's not Kshatriya. Kshatriya means that they act very considerately. If necessary, they'll cut someone's head off. You have to be prepared to do that. But their motive is to protect the citizens. So yes, we live in a very different social milieu to that of the Vedic culture. We live in a demoniac culture. So it may not be that we can expect everyone to adjust to this. But as much as we do adopt the Vedic principles of life to our lives, that much it will help us to be Krishna conscious. And as much as we don't, if we try to mix the Western way of living and acting and thinking, the Western mentality, it doesn't fit with Krishna consciousness at all. It doesn't foster Krishna consciousness. We should know about this. These ideas of equality, I would say, demon creation. There's no democracy. Now, he was maybe saying democracy is better than communism or authoritarianism. Granted, it may be better than some Stalin type authoritarianism, but it's not the ideal by any means. What was your question? What is Uttamadhikari? I think you have an important question. Prabhupada writes, one should be careful to accept an Uttamadhikari as a spiritual master, but then while explaining that, in the same section where he explains that, he says that an Uttamadhikari is one who chants 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra, follows the regular of the principles, and I was always thinking that to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Is what Prabhupada says. Now, Mahabhagavat, that means one who sees Krishna everywhere. Uttamadhikari means, let's describe by Rupa Goswami that Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Kamantina Vitamvani Kuvin Krishna Shivani Bhakti Vitama. Cultivating Krishna consciousness, to cultivate no mature desires, only cultivating pure devotional service, he may also be considered Uttamadhikari. So, Uttamadhikari is not necessarily synonymous with Mahabhagavat. Not necessarily synonymous. May you be reserved, not according to Shastra. According to Shastra, you have to have, without faith in your spiritual master, you can't make any spiritual advancement. Therefore, it's said that before you take initiation, you should examine Are you ready to surrender? Because without surrender, there's no meaning in having a guru. So if you don't have faith, then don't take initiation. You may say, well, you know, may fall down in the future. Then you see how someone is living their life. Are they a candidate for falling down? No. Actually, I'm going to discuss this more in detail at the camp. You go to that camp? Problems in this school. But the just like, for instance, recently, Harry Cage, I don't know what he calls himself nowadays, fell down. I don't know whether he likes to be called Harry Cage Prabhu or whatever, Robert or whatever it is. But this doesn't mean that Krishna consciousness is a failure. It shows that Krishna consciousness works. Because he didn't have any sadhana, didn't rise early in the morning, was associating intimately with women and money and business. So if you don't practice Krishna consciousness, then you fall away. That's the proof. So if you find someone who's very seriously practicing, very serious about associating with devotees, not associating with non-devotees, following sadhana very strictly, dedicated their life in that way. They don't have any extracurricular activities like making rock music albums unnecessarily, one or the other. I mean, there was a lot of hype. We'll discuss this because this is the pure devotee, but it was some hobby which has got nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. So it was predictable, actually. I mean, this may sound very harsh, but if someone is practicing Krishna consciousness, then we can expect that the result will be that they will go on being Krishna conscious. But if you don't attend any temple programs, don't rise early in the morning, don't associate with devotees, instead you associate with non-devotees, or you become involved in business and money instead of preaching Krishna Katha, then naturally your conscience will become polluted. It's Krishna consciousness is a science. So you should see who is practicing nicely, doesn't have any anarthas as described in Shastra. And have your faith. But if you don't have faith, then there's no meaning to such a mission. It becomes meaningless. We'll discuss more. So when Pakistan split from India thanks to the British and Pandit Nehru, may they not rest in peace, they won't rest in peace for all their sins. All the Hindus are either being killed or they're running away from Pakistan. It wasn't even called Pakistan at the time. They never had any idea of such a thing. Anyway, the Muslims said that to the Bangis, those who clean out the stool, no, you stay here, we want you to stay here, we'll look after you, because we don't want to clean out the stool, you should do it. So that caste is still there, although they don't clean out the stool anymore. So our devotees have been preaching, and there are about 2,000 people from that caste in China, Krishna, and Pakistan, and quite a few Muslims too. And they can also become devotees in just at Rathiyatra, just in the water. One of my disciples came from a village and brought with him. That village, the people were not very responsive. He only got one person in the whole village to chant Hare Krishna as a Muslim. So you don't understand what that means, because here the Bosnian Muslims, there. In Europe, just like in Russia, there are some Muslims, they're very wishy-washy. But there, in India, it's like, if a Muslim becomes a Hindu, then good chance he's going to get shot. If he's lucky, the more likely to be tortured to death. It's very dangerous. They're very heavy people. So even from any background, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is over. It's often we can't imagine. And actually, I mean, we're talking about, we're also from a highly demoniac background, isn't it?
when we consider we're all unique being, and that in itself is highly belonging. And so you see them come on the plane, you see the stewardess is coming around. What would you like, beef or chicken?
No, I think I love beef. Red wine or white wine? Oh, well, give me a whiskey.
And, you know, it's just like, this is normal, you know, Western world. It's horrible. They're just eating that little piece of meat. And for that little piece of meat, they have to go to hell and suffer. They don't know. So I have great work. This Kamsa Sampradaya is very active in the world. Kamsa was killed by Krishna. There are always demons, one after another. And they'll come. They'll never be attacked. And they're not. In the present time, the demons have become very powerful. And they're really spoiling the world very badly. So the Krishna conscious movement is meant for kicking out the demoniac civilization, giving civilization, not civilizations. Animal world. Krishna conscious movement is meant. They have a very great purpose. You should always keep this in mind. You shouldn't be frivolous, or childish, or whimsical. How seriously we should take Krishna consciousness, practice it ourselves, very seriously. And then Krishna will give us the potency to save others. If we're not thinking about how to spread Krishna consciousness to others, then we haven't understood Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. We haven't really understood what Krishna consciousness is all about. It's not just meant for us to sit at home very peacefully and sing, chant a little bit. Krishna conscious movement is meant for spreading to others. We should bear this in mind. How people are suffering from lack of Krishna consciousness. How Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has ordered every person within his universe to take up Krishna consciousness and spread it to others. So the audience should be active, busy, serving Krishna, preaching Krishna consciousness. Preaching means not everyone's going to be great acharya members, nor should we be so ambitious. But we should see what we can do to spread Krishna consciousness to others according to our capacity. We don't know how much our capacity is because Krishna can empower us more and more. But first thing, we have to be very strict in our sadhana and regularly studying Prabhupada's books. Ourselves become strong, get a taste for Krishna consciousness, and with that strength and with that taste, we can become instrumental in the impact of Krishna consciousness to others. So let's think about this. When we're discussing demons, they're rotten, they're nasty, they're foolish, they're miserable. Yes, it's true. But we don't hate them. We're disgusted with their way of life. But devotee is thinking how to save them. That is the main point. You say these things very strongly. Yes, this is foolish, rascal. It's true. We have to point that out. To save ourselves and others from following that inauspicious path. But really, the meditation of the devotee is how to uplift these people. Bring out the Krishna consciousness which is within the heart of everybody. This is the mission of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. This is the mission for all of us. Hare Krishna. Is there any question?
Yes, it's a relevant point. The example is there of Hiranyakashipu, and there are other demons like that too. If they were performing austerities, they had transcendental knowledge to some extent, because they knew that the body is temporary, that the soul is getting different bodies according to his karma. But still, he was a demon because of his attitude. He hated Vishnu. So what about us? Well, we also fall in the Hiranyakashipu category if we cultivate a demoniac mentality. We should be very careful of this. Sometimes in the name of devotional service, we want to dominate over others, or for our own sense gratification. Actually, there's a the distinction is given in this both Go Buddha and Sarvamankasya. There are two kinds of living being. But actually we often see that in the modern age a devotee is a devotee but still so many demoniac desires in the heart. So we should be very careful. To really be a devotee, it's a good point. Devotee doesn't just mean putting on tilak. It's good to put on tilak, I'm not saying don't put on tilak. We should put on tilak. But that in it, simply the external trappings, tilak, I got initiated, and all these kinds of things, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be a devotee. Devotee means he's devoted to Krishna. So we are devotee as much as we are devoted to Krishna. We should know which demoniac background we're coming from. So if we don't keep up our Krishna conscious practice, we can go back to being a demon also. Oh, that's it then. And you go back to being a demon also. So any other questions? Yeah, you're talking about how devotees accept the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, at least to some extent, although nowadays we find that devotees, it's quite common, they want to mix up some ideas of Krishna consciousness with some karmic ideas. That's also quite common. So, that's nonsense. So they accept the practices and the philosophy, but not the culture. Yeah, this is a point which I'm often making. They find it very difficult to accept the culture. But as you say, yes, that will make some problems, because the culture is the medium in which Krishna consciousness grows. Just like we have a yogurt culture that changes the milk into yogurt. So the Vaishnava culture is the medium. How we behave, how we act, how we dress, how we relate with others. So if you try to be Krishna conscious devotee and at the same time rock and roll star or something like this, it really doesn't mix. But the Vedic and the Vaishnava culture is meant for cultivating spiritual values, and especially this modern demoniac culture is meant for cultivating demoniac values. So the two things, they really don't mix. Just like at the present time in our movement, and I guess it will continue, there's this idea that this one point of Prabhupada stressed very strongly that spiritually everyone is equal, but socially women have a subordinate role. So often now they say, well, that's, you know, that doesn't fit with the modern Western way of life. It doesn't. The modern Western way of life is meant for sense gratification. The Vedic culture is meant for spiritual elevation. So different roles are there to help facilitate everybody according to their psychophysical condition. There's Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. There's also people done like that. Why should anyone be considered inferior because Shudra? But that's according to the particular guna and karma that you are inclined to protect. So for you to act within that social condition, that is better for you and it's better for everybody. The Western way of life, they're very strange ideas. They say all are equal, but what it comes down to, they say everyone is equal, but equality is not there. It's not that everyone is equal. No. People don't have the same intelligence. They don't have the same capabilities. They don't have the same physical strength. Therefore, what it comes down to in modern life is might is right. Whoever can dominate others by brute force or by manipulation, just like psychological manipulation through the education system, through the mass media, they dominate others. So, the Vedic social philosophy is that those who are most pure and intelligent, the brahmanas, they should give guidance. Brahmanas and kshatriyas, they dominate society. Brahmanas, by their purity and intellectualism, that doesn't mean false intellectualism of the universities, but that means knowledge of Shastra. and Kshatriyas, they implement that. And Kshatriya, sometimes a learned Kshatriya, but he's just a lout. You know this word lout means just like a bully. That's not Kshatriya. Kshatriya means that they act very considerately. If necessary, they'll cut someone's head off. You have to be prepared to do that. But their motive is to protect the citizens. So yes, we live in a very different social milieu to that of the Vedic culture. We live in a demoniac culture. So it may not be that we can expect everyone to adjust to this. But as much as we do adopt the Vedic principles of life to our lives, that much it will help us to be Krishna conscious. And as much as we don't, if we try to mix the Western way of living and acting and thinking, the Western mentality, it doesn't fit with Krishna conscious at all. It doesn't foster Krishna consciousness. We should know about this. These ideas of equality for us are demon creation. There's no democracy. Now he was maybe saying democracy is better than communism or authoritarianism. Granted, it may be better than some Stalin type authoritarianism, but it's not the ideal by any means. What was your question? What is Uttamadhikari? I think you haven't got the question. Prabhupada writes, one should be careful to accept an Uttamadhikari as a spiritual master, but then while explaining that, in the same section where he explains that, he says that an Uttamadhikari is one who chants 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra, follows the regular of the principles, and is always thinking of respect Krishna consciousness all over the world. Is what Prabhupada says. Now, Mahabhagavat, that means one who sees Krishna everywhere. Uttamadhikari means, let's describe by Rupa Goswami that Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnanakamakinam. One who is cultivating Krishna consciousness, to cultivate no mature desire, he's only cultivating pure devotional service, he may also be considered Uttamadhikari. So, Uttamadhikari is not necessarily synonymous with Mahabhagavat. Not necessarily synonymous. May you be reserved, not according to Shastra. According to Shastra, you have to, and without faith in your spiritual master, you can't make any spiritual advancement. Therefore, it's said that before you take initiation, you should examine. Are you ready to surrender? Because without surrender, there's no meaning to having a guru. So if you don't have faith, then don't take initiation. You may say, well, you know, may fall down in the future. Then you see how someone is living their life. Are they a candidate for falling down? Now, actually, I'm going to discuss this more in detail at the camp. You want to do that camp? Problems in this school. But the, just like for instance, recently, Hari Kesh, I don't know what he calls himself nowadays, fell down. I don't know whether he likes to be called Hari Kesh Prabhu or whatever, Robert or whatever it is. But this doesn't mean that Krishna consciousness is a failure. It shows that Krishna consciousness works. Because he didn't have any sadhana, didn't rise early in the morning, was associating intimately with women and money and business. So if you don't practice Krishna consciousness, then you fall away. That's the proof. So if you find someone who's very seriously practicing, and very serious about associating with devotees, not associating with non-devotees, following sadhana very strictly, dedicated their life in that way, they don't have any extracurricular activities like making rock music albums unnecessarily one to the other. I mean, there was a lot of hype, we'll discuss this, because this is the pure devotee, but it was some hobby which has got nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. So
it was predictable actually. I mean, this may sound very harsh, but if someone is practicing Krishna consciousness, then we can expect that the result will be that they will go on being Krishna conscious. But if you don't attend any temple programs, don't know Zen, don't associate with devotees, instead you associate with non-devotees, or you become involved in business and money instead of preaching Krishna Katha, then naturally your consciousness will become polluted. It's Krishna consciousness is a science. So you should see who is practicing nicely, doesn't have any anarthas as described in Shastra. And have your faith. But if you don't have faith, then there's no limit to your situation.